This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
248-539-9797. What if they are dual citizens, Stoney? Like, I'm American and Canadian. That's from Joe, not in Harbor Springs anymore.
No.
And so it's okay if you play for one of them, but I don't think you can switch and go back and forth. That's my point. If he had started playing for Australia, because he was born there, I'd have no problem with that. Harry Holm, there's kids on your lawn. This isn't an old man take.
Kind of is.
Not really.
Kind of is.
Dual citizenship is different than people who can't make the USA team and then get citizenship to play for a different country. One of Chelios' sons played for Team China at the last Olympics.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous, but different than Kyrie, Anthony, and Ann Arbor. Stoney, I know your daughter used to be a gymnast. No, she wasn't. She was an equestrian. But if she wasn't good enough for the U.S. Olympic team, but in your words, made the Israeli Olympic team, would you tell her not to go compete? I'd support her, but I would say you should have been good enough to make our
team. Daddy doesn't approve.
That'd be the equestrian, right?
Yeah.
I printed that strictly because there's Stoney's daughters. Neither one of them was a gymnast. I was extremely confident that
right.
Unless there was some part of Stoney I didn't know about.
No, they did the little kids gym stuff, as all a lot of little girls do. But no, why not just pick teams if no one is going to play for their country? That's even more hyperbolic than what I would say, but yes.
Yes. And again, I do think there needs to be a family connection. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, part of your heritage is entwined in that other country. And I have no issue with that, especially if, in this case, Kyrie Irving, he was born there, spent 2 years there, has dual citizenship. I don't care. And this is coming from, I would have always loved to have participated in the Olympics. Now, for me, it would have been like, I know where my grandparents came from and their heritage, but for me, it would have only been for the United States. But that's me. I'm not going to hold that same value system to other players, other athletes that want to just simply play on the world's biggest stage for some of their respective sports.
Yeah. Like, if I was good enough at something, could I have said, okay, my great-grandparents were born in Russia, I believe. So I played for Russia? Well, maybe.
If they were in the Olympics.
They would have kicked me out. Yes. By the way, Klay Thompson recently tried to make a similar move to play for the Bahamas. He was denied. Likewise, on the women's side, I always forget how to pronounce her name. Nikia Ogwumike and Elizabeth Williams were prevented from playing for Nigeria. So, by the way, one of the more famous Australian basketball players who competed against Michigan in the national championship from 1989. Andrew Gaze of Seton Hall. He's Australian. He's played for the Australian Olympic team. He's from Australia. He says he'd love to see Kyrie play for Australia.
Sure he would. He's a good basketball player.
He's a great basketball player.
And probably
player.
Better than most that they have available. And who knows? I mean, we're talking about 3 years down the road.
Correct.
So it's not like it's right around the corner. And again, if you haven't had the opportunity, now he played in 2014, gold medal in the World Cup. 2010, the FIBA Americas, under 18 mm-hmm. championship, yeah. gold medal. He's played for the U.S. in a lot of different forums. But if he's either going to be blackballed or just not good enough to make USA basketball team, and he has dual citizenship, there's no. I don't see the issue. I don't know why your panties are all in a ruffle on this one.
We don't want Kyrie on our team. Signed, Mel Gibson. Men at Work. Hugh Jackman. Agree with Stoney. This is a big problem in tennis, a worldwide sport. Naomi Osaka was born in Japan, but they moved to the United States when she was a baby. She learned how to play, and as a product of the United States Tennis Association, she should represent the United States, not Japan. That's from Adam in Brighton. Well, she was born in Japan, so I get why she wants to play for Japan, but I'd have a problem. I don't have a problem with that, but I have a problem if she decided, all right, I played for Japan in this Olympics. Next Olympiad, I'm going to play for the United States. That's the problem, I think. Paul from Commerce says Stoney is 100% correct. Well, there's a blind squirrel every day. Thank you.
Do you guys think this ever, I'm trying to help Stoney out here a little bit, even though I side with you. We're in a blended world now.
It's a global.
And if you have, whatever. I think this all starts with Stoney. At the core, do you just think you should have to be born in a country to play for a country? Much like the presidency of the United States. You have to be born.
Yeah, pretty much.
Line was crossed so far ago. Like, why are you getting.
I don't know. I've always felt. The Olympics, it's...
Well, you grew up with international sports that you had to pretty much be born in the country to play it, and that's changed over time, but we're like 20 years, 30 years down the road now with this.
That's why, I mean, when they say get off my lawn, it kind of is old man take.
Well, this might be an old man take, too, speaking of the Olympics. There's an Olympics that may take place different than our regular Olympics. It's called the Enhanced Games.
Yes.
Otherwise known as the Steroid Olympics. They have clinched a double-digit million-dollar cash infusion from lots of investors led by Donald Trump Jr., and it has nothing to do with him, as a controversial sporting event. So basically, the first Enhanced Games will include events in track, swimming, weightlifting, combat, and gymnastics, and will likely take place later this year in a warm U.S. city conducive to the winter months. Basically, the deal is that you can, take whatever you want.
Yeah, PEDs. Performance enhancing
PEDs,
drugs or supplements.
Yes.
I have no problem with this as long as they are legal. Not legal by competition standards, but legal by, does the country that, and that's where I think you might run into some issues, is are you doing something here that is not legal by the feds versus it might be legal in Russia or it might be legal in some of these other countries. I'm not going to sit here and condone the use of illegal enhancing drugs.
What if you, I don't know. Look, if people want to go watch it. Fine. I mean, what's his name? Obviously not the same. Not the head coach of Chicago Bears, but when Ben Johnson broke the record, the 100-meter dash, do people want to watch that? They want to see guys who use PEDs break world records that they couldn't break because of not using PEDs at the Olympics?
Well, they're not going to be – they're going to be a completely different class of records.
Yeah, I know. But
so if it's a quote-unquote – level playing field, you're not going to compare results from the Enhanced Games to results from the Olympic Games.
Right, but there's still, if a guy sets a world record, it's a world record. Now, would
in
it be
the Enhanced Games?
Well, yes, but a world record, would it be an asterisk? It has nothing to do with the Olympics.
Yes, it would.
Okay.
I don't know that it would be recognized by any other you know, competitive body.
Well, here's the other problem is, I mean, we went through this decades ago with, like, what, East German swimmers, that people were not exactly convinced that they were 100% female and, all, you know, that type of stuff. That's what's is kind of bothersome to me as well. I mean, if you have women's, if you have women who are taking like male PED, I mean, male hormones, we draw the line there. They're going to be tested for that. That.
Technically, that is what testosterone is, but women do have testosterone in their body as well. But
you understand what I'm talking about. When these Germans and some other countries, where the way they were found, they were stripped of their medals because they found they had took so much of these drugs that people questioned their gender, so to speak.
Again, it goes to the legality of it, because steroids, without a prescription, steroids are illegal to use.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the question that I have is, you know, are all of these going to be medically enhanced by, you know, a prescription? And how do they get those prescriptions? Because there needs to be a reason for the prescription. Correct?
Yeah. Look, it sounds maybe hypocritical. I have no problem with, you know, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. They all should be in the Hall of Fame in my mind. So, but I just think it's kind of weird. It's like, I don't know, the fact that they're calling themselves the Enhanced Olympics. Well, what's next? They're going to have like races with guys wearing like battery packs and like jets on their sneakers.
Yes, we call that the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500. We see the Bull. Competition. That, so those exist.
Well,
who can fly the fastest? You've got a propeller and a jetpack.
Yeah, okay.
And it just happens to be on a plane versus a strap to your back. I mean, these are.
Stoney, please tap dancing around your minority blood take. No. You should live in the country you play for. Agree with Stoney. You should play with the country you associate with the most. You shouldn't get to switch countries you represent. That's my biggest thing, switching countries. Stoney is a whiny old MAGA. Oh, yeah.
You've got it, Stoney. Yep. For all these years, you've been painted as
a snowflake. Right. That's right.
That was for you. I printed that for you.
By the way.
I knew you would love that. See what you've done to the audience you've brought out?
You know what the best thing, you know the best thing the president has done?
Oh, here he goes. See?
Right? No, because, Gov, you know I've been on this for years.
Here we go.
Abolishing the penny.
Oh.
Abolishing the penny. Boy. I love that. And finally,
For the guy that hasn't used pennies in a while, I only use hundreds and $1,000 bills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
$100,000 bills.
Ban the dollar bill next, right, Stoney?
That's right.
Ban the nickel.
He doesn't need them.
Unless you need onion rings.
Gov, you mean you can't be born in Kenya like Bathhouse Barry and be president? And that's from Sean the Mailman. Okay.
See who you brought out? Thanks a lot.
you didn't have to give it to me. I just read it. I'm Ron Burgundy, 97 won the ticket.
Hey, March is right around the corner, and it's college basketball at its most exciting. Right now, new customers on FanDuel get $150 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's $150 extra bucks to bet on everything from tournament, you know, titles to conference championships. Doesn't matter. Even who's going to be cutting down the nets when it's all said and done. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's no better time than now to join. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you're going to get paid instantly. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit and get in on the college hoops action before March gets here. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as now or trouble bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
.248-539-9797 All right, I just saw this, so I'm going to go a little off the board here. I know it's a little early for these, but when one of a guy that we all respect comes out with one, we, I think, should mention it because it's local. Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press, mock draft, his first one, has just come out, and I'm just going to go over a few things with you, John. So don't look. I'll see what you think. First, we're only going to do a few of these picks, but he has Abdul Carter going number one from Penn State to Tennessee with the first pick of the draft.
It's going to be interesting because I think he's really good. I don't know that he is, quote unquote, generational, as some people have talked about.
Like LeVar and Parsons, the other Penn State guys who wore number 11.
He's in that same category. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. And he maybe is the best player in this draft. I disagree, but I see it.
Cleveland taking pick number two goes with Cam Ward.
They need a cheap option at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And getting a first-round quarterback, you get that fifth-year option. You can see what happens.
Yeah.
Not surprised.
By the way, did you hear what Cam Ward had to say the other day?
No. Oh, I did. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to get that up. He says, basically, if you don't draft me, he was asking, he got the Davey O'Brien Award Monday night for best quarterback.
Yeah.
And he told the AP, quote, okay, you're either going to draft me or you're not. If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career, and I'll remember that.
Yeah.
A little cocky, but, you know, nothing wrong with that, right?
Confidence.
Yeah. Okay. Number three to the New York Giants, Travis Hunter, who's going to be a defensive back probably, and then he'll play some, obviously, wide receiver as well.
Yeah. I think this is going to be an interesting career to follow. If I'm Travis Hunter, I go in and I'm having these interviews, these visits with teams, and they ask, you know, hey, do you want to play corner? Do you want to play, you know, wide receiver? He needs to master one position first, which I think would be, you know, corner, defensive mm-hmm. back. And once he does after a year, then he could say, yeah, I'm willing to expand my offerings to this team and get, you know, 7, 8, 9 opportunities a game at receiver.
Jacksonville at 5. Goes Mason Graham.
Okay.
Michigan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of people have him going.
Yep.
The next local guy going, Will Johnson to Rico Beard's San Francisco 49ers at 11.
Yeah.
There's definitely a need there.
Yeah. I mentioned, you know, I already talked about their need at mm-hmm. corner.
Yes, you did.
His big thing is going to, can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
He's a very physical corner. And I mean that's part of what makes him special is the skill set that he has and the way that he plays. But he's been banged up.
Will he play meaningless NFL games? Denver Broncos. At
your ability 20. To always hit the button in regards to whatever has gone on in the past is remarkable.
Yeah. Do you think he was legitimately injured for all those games?
I do.
Okay. Well, you would know more than I would, that's for sure, because you're in the building a lot. Number 20, Colston Loveland to the Denver Broncos.
Oh, that's a great, great fit for that offense. You know, we know how much, what was it, Jimmy Graham down in New England? Or New Orleans. When Sean Payton was down there. I think that's a great fit for that offense.
Kenneth Grant from Michigan to Baltimore at 27, mm-hmm. defensive tackle. And at 28, hopefully you've seen his tape because I haven't seen his tape yet, but everybody seems I have seen his name around. The Lions go with defensive end Nick Scowerton from Texas A&M. And he's listed at 6'4", 280.
Yeah.
Would pair nice with Aiden in a Marcus Davenport sort of role, as Dave Burkett says. The Lions obviously need help interior DL, or they could target help on offensive line or receiver here as well.
But yeah, I think that they do go edge. It's a talent. I'm not sure it's – I mean, when you're drafting at that time, it's a little bit of a gamble. But I wouldn't be mad at the pick.
Yes. All right. It's time for news, and here's Heather.
Well, as cleanup continues from one of the worst water main breaks in recent Detroit history, officials on Tuesday said nearly 400 homes were affected, with almost 300 people staying in hotels, over 250 homes with flooded basements or no power. And during a press conference, Mayor Mike Duggan said that the city has now shifted from a rescue phase to the service phase. He says that it could take weeks before all the home repairs are completed and all residents have returned to their homes. He also says it could take 7 to 10 days to repair the water line. Lots of devastation. And it's like the worst time to have this happen, with furnaces not working, pipes could be free. You know, like it's so, so cold with this happening. I mean, it's never a good time to have your basement flooded, but in the winter like this, it could be even worse for sure. The Detroit City Council has officially approved the city's new police chief during Tuesday's meeting. No surprise here. Todd Bettison has been serving as the interim police chief, and he received unanimous approval by the council, which is what we thought would happen, but it is now official. Council members shared their hopes for the incoming police chief while also praising his work with the city and the police department for over decades working with the office. So congrats to him. So there's still so many questions surrounding the case of those children who were left abandoned in that Pontiac home for years. And it's really hard to wrap your head around. It's really hard to believe that something so horrendous could be happening and nobody had any idea that it was going on. Well, now the Oakland County Sheriff, Michael Bouchard, is sharing some more details about how this neglect went on unnoticed for so long. First, he says it's believed that these kids were abandoned sometime in the spring or summer of 2020. Right? Like that long ago, the mother dropped off trash bags, gloves, and Febreze in 2020. And they believe that is the last time she brought them any hygiene-related items. What? Okay, so while these kids were living in the house, the mother was living in another location in the city. They survived on weekly drop-offs of food, but it wasn't always the mother dropping it off. DoorDash, Instacart, those types of services were dropping foods off, but it's believed that they had no idea what was going on behind the door, right? Towards the end, like before they were found, these kids were just eating a loaf of bread. Like that was their prepared meal that they had to share and last for 4 days, right? The father, the boys and girls' father, was incarcerated for quite a long time, didn't have any contact with the kids. But when he got out, he did file legal papers to get visitation rights to see them. But the mother wouldn't allow him to see the kids, so he hasn't had any contact with them. There were relatives, right? But they apparently had no idea what was going on. And the kids never asked for help. The sheriff says that they were so young at the time and so scared that that just became their normal. He said the boy, the oldest boy, was the only one who ever went outside twice in that entire time. Once to get the mail and once to feel the grass.
It blows my mind. Yeah. I don't even know what to say.
It's so crazy. And, you know, with school, it was right near the pandemic. So there was lots of changes going on within the school system. So they like
kind of fell through the cracks, lost in the shuffle, yes, all those different analogies.
Neighbors had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild. It sounds like the kids are starting to improve already. Good. They've received a ton of donations as far as clothes go. So now they're accepting money to go towards their medical bills and also education.
Yeah.
So. I know Sheriff Bouchard, they put out a thing about that they needed, you know, clothes, yes, specific sizes, yes, and things like that, because my daughter, Jessica, texted us and said, yep, do we still have some of our stuff in those sizes? And we don't.
But. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a ton of people, yes, donated, so they're good on the clothes. Now let's raise some money to help these kids go even further. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much, Heather. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. I might get unpopular again for the next topic, but we'll see what that is coming up next. 97 won the ticket. .248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Last night, Michigan State, very nice performance, defeating Purdue 75-66. And kudos to the bench, man. 35-11, they outscored the bench of Purdue. Frankie Fiddler had a good game. Cohen Carr with some electric alley-oop dunks. It gets the place going. In fact, Matt Painter basically was asked, did the alley-oop change the game? He said, which one? Because he had the three or four. You know, I could tell stories about each one. He was terrific. And, you know, when they still are not a very good three-point shooting team. I think they were, 4 for 13 last night, something like that.
Yeah.
The box score. But, and, you know, when it gets to the tournament, that's going to be very important. But they have good guard play. They've been playing well, and it's going to be a really interesting game on Friday at Chrysler, where Michigan, who's had a terrific season, nobody thought that Michigan was going to be this good.
No, I mean, the turnaround has been unbelievable.
Yes.
And just the quality of basketball. That's all anybody wanted was just a good quality of basketball. Right. And they're certainly getting it along with the wins.
Yeah, and they're fun to watch. And when Michigan State, when they can get into transition, they're almost impossible to defend. It's their half court sets that, you know, bother some people, but if you can't make threes, it's tough. But their bigs have played really well, and it's going to be a battle of the bigs on Friday night. You know, with Area 51, right? Is that what they call it? With Golden and Wolf, uh-huh. And you know, with the big guys from Michigan State with Cooper Culler and other guys. It's going to be a really good game, and can't wait for that one. Mm-hmm. All right, so in the game last night, Michigan did a. Not a great job, but a decent. Michigan State did a good job of Purdue, one of their best players, and that is Braden Smith. Braden Smith is a very good basketball player. This year he's sporting the beard look, which is kind of weird. Like Braden Smith, 17 points, 7 for 13.
It's kind of weird that he has a beard.
Well, the way he, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, he was very clean cut looking last year, and
he was unbearded last year.
Okay, but he's got a big. I found it weird that he, all of a sudden this guy's growing a beard
a year later.
Yeah. Okay. He whatever.
Grew a beard.
All right. Fine. It's irrelevant.
But no, I don't think it is because I think it plays into your thoughts on this individual.
No,
actually, I think it does.
Actually, it probably doesn't. But anyway, that's
well,
it.
We'll see.
Yes. So Braden Smith. The way he plays, and he's really, really good. So don't take it the wrong way that I don't think he's a great basketball player. He's really good. He is just one of those guys that you just can't stand. I don't know what it is, and it's not
just...
He's
one of those guys that you can't stand.
Correct.
I think this is not a widely held opinion.
Okay, it may not...
Of Braden Smith.
It may not be, but it's a... It's a bigger picture is where I want to go here. So I'm not thinking small school here. I'm thinking big school, big picture here. Why is it, and again, maybe it's just me, but a lot of white people like myself, the players in college basketball that we hate the most are the white guys. What is that? Why, all the Duke, you know, we hated J.J. Redick. You hated Hurley. Grayson Allen. Who's the dude who played for Wisconsin? Brad Davison. Hunter Dickinson could be one of the more hated players of all time.
Well, he earned
that. No doubt about it. Well, so did some of the others. Grayson Allen earned it.
Sure.
A lot of them. I think it's a subconscious, very subconscious, that people, when they see white guys excelling in basketball, American guys especially now, that they think, oh man, I could be that guy, but I'm not. I just couldn't be as good as, you know, J.J. Redick or, you know, Bobby Hurley. And it is a lot of Duke guys. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't see that many people saying, oh, I hate, for lack of a better, you know, Travis Walton when he played at Michigan State, you know, or somebody like that. Just picking names out of the hat, you know. I didn't hate. The Fab Five is a different story, but people
Outside of Michigan or right. Ann Arbor or the Michigan family, you could put in Chris Webber, Jalen Rose.
Right. I get that, but it's people thought that they were showboaty. The white guy, especially the guards in college basketball, who was the guy who played at Ohio State? They had a few of them, Jay Burson or whatever his name was, or something like that. There's tons of them. Yes, I guess it's just me, but 248-539-9797. Why is it, and if you disagree with me, feel free to.
I do.
Okay. The white guys in college basketball are so hateable. I think it's psychological. It's they're subconscious, I should say, is the word.
I don't know.
Because you...
So Grayson Allen, all right, it was... His propensity to take cheap shots.
Correct.
So that's why you hated him. Hunter Dickinson. It was the antics off of the court. I mean, it was the mask. It was the shirts. It was, you know, when he did it, like, didn't back it up. And it was things that he said.
Let's get this straight, by the way. Hunter Dickinson is on this list because he was hated by his own fan base.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That is definitely true.
Christian Laettner, again, it was the antics. Now, for him, he just kind of had that punchable face. And it was an over-the-top elitist attitude.
Well, that's part of all Duke players. So, yeah.
Right.
Insert your Duke player.
And he was also good.
Right. And, yes. And so, I mean, there are times when those things are going on that you just hate those guys simply because they're good mm-hmm. and what they do to your team. And, I mean, Braden Smith, I mean, God forbid he grows a beard.
Okay, take the beard out.
You mentioned it's all psychological, and yeah. I it sounds to me like that does play a part
in
it.
No, the beard had nothing to do with it. I felt the same way about him last year. He was just one of those guys, you know, those gritty guys that, you know, try to get fouls and all that. They're great bass. They're really good basketball players.
He plays hard.
No.
He plays physical.
There's different. I can't, like, you're right. There's nothing. I can't put a finger on it. When you watch a lot of those players like that, it just bothers me. They're hateable. Maybe it's the punchable face. Maybe the beard made him less hateable, actually, because you couldn't see his
Aaron
face.
Aaron Kraft. That was the name you're
Aaron
looking for.
Kraft?
Yeah, okay. For Ohio State. Okay. It just hit me.
Okay. Yes.
I don't.
Nebraska had a guy one a few years ago as well.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you. I just. Other than one or two individuals, Laettner being one of them, Grayson Allen being another, they just happened to both be Dukies.
Taylor Hansborough, who played in North Carolina, he was hateable.
Tyler Hansborough.
Yeah. He had a brother who was Taylor, did he? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, parents like those, you know, names that are close to each other. I don't know. I know Bobby Hurley. Is
the great college basketball player,
right?
Leitner's one of the greatest college basketball players of all time.
Sure,
as long as it doesn't cloud.
But to me, like Bobby and Danny Hurley, their annoyance is more of their antics of being a coach now than it ever was as a player. Like I didn't necessarily feel that way about Bobby Hurley being a Duke point guard. The disdain was more Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
And so I'm not on the same bus as you are.
248-539-9797. Somebody else texted in, Aaron Kraft. I noticed the same thing, especially 3-point shooters. I call it Larry Bird effect. Can't really figure it out. That's Lou from Shelby Township. JJ McCarthy has the most punchable face in sports. we're talking college basketball, but
yes.
We got a good one on text, just came in. Robbie Hummel.
Robbie Hummel, by the way, yeah, he was. But Robbie Hummel, he was the analyst last night. He's really good on television.
Yeah, I think
he
so
is
too.
Really, really good. And I don't know what else he does. I'm surprised he's not more on a national level.
You know, and I think you guys, I think rightfully so, underestimate. People hated Jalen Rose in college. People out, but we're here,
right?
You know, I mean, John, you're a Michigan alum. I mean,
right.
But people outside of Michigan could not stand Jalen Rose.
Right. And I think that it was Jalen, it was Chris.
Well, it was the showboating. That's what they didn't like. They, you know,
right.
Other
yeah.
Things.
The shorts and all of that stuff. Yeah.
Right. They weren't. America was not ready for the Fab Five.
I found a list of most hated college basketball players ever that somebody came up with, and they had Patrick Ewing on it, and I do remember not liking him at Georgetown. Now, Stoney, you were in that area during that time, so you probably had a different take. I couldn't stand him. He's one of the first guys I remember wearing a shirt underneath his jersey.
Yes, he was.
And then Allen Iverson.
How dare he?
Another Georgetown player. So I don't know if that was a whole, you know, Georgetown was, you know, viewed as that bad boy type team or whatever back then and stuff. So, yeah, and then another one, Joakim Noah.
Yeah, I didn't hate him as much in college as I did as a member of the Chicago Bulls. All right, 248-539-9797.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call, your only call, should be to Abraham and Rose. They're an experienced law firm, and they're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. So whether it's personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers that you can talk to and see, not some tax organization with a random individual you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
.248-539-9797 Coming up at the top of the hour, a name the Lions should consider. Played his college football in a city that John can't stand. All right. We're talking about Braden Smith, who plays for Purdue, who lost to Michigan State. And he's a really good player. He was Mr. Basketball at Indiana his senior year in high school. But he's one of those guys that I and maybe some others just can't stand because the way they play. And I made the observation, there's something about really good, gritty, tough white guys in college basketball that seem to be the most hated more than the African-American players. So am I out the lunch or is it true? Here we go. Or is it true? I've got a list here from some texters here. Ready? Mitch McGrady. If you weren't a Michigan fan, I could see that.
Yeah.
And I'm try to stay away from rivalry reasons, too, for these. Scott Skiles. I could see, look, he was flashy, he was great, but he talked some trash, man. He could, you know, what you call it, Antoine Joubert, fat boy and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, even at that time, though, I was very young in my sports fandom, kind of appreciated the tenacity of which he played
with. He was great.
I didn't hate him, even though he played for a rival.
I know, I didn't hate him. He wasn't a guy I hated.
Well, no, we know you didn't hate him because he didn't play for your rival. You were Michigan State.
But that was before.
Basketball.
I know, that was before that.
Oh, your loyalties were formed?
Yeah, when I was living in Washington, D.C., basically, is when he played for Michigan State. I had no alliances there. It was all about American University, and we blew. Actually, you know, whatever. And I love the fact that Scott Skiles had an amazing game. I believe it was against Georgetown with that pass during the behind-the-back pass during the NCAA tournament on that rubber floor in Dayton, Ohio. I hated Brian Cardinal. I could see that when he played in college. He was a popular Piston bench performer. Mm-hmm. Mark Madsen, when he played at Stanford and later played with the Lakers. I think he's the head coach here, or at least he was at one point at his arch rival at Cal at one point.
Mm-hmm.
DiVincenzo, when he played at Nova, Dante DiVincenzo. Fraudster Lawyer. I could see where Foster Lawyer could be hateable, the way he played. Now, this has nothing to do with basketball, but you mentioned the most punchable face in sports, John.
Yeah.
Brad Marchand. It's going to be very, by the way, that's going to be a weird dynamic tomorrow. Him playing in Boston against the United States.
Yeah, so be it.
Yeah. Stoney, the Boston Celtics of the 80s and the Duke Blue Devils of the late 80s and early 90s is the reason you hate all white guys in sports. That's from Tom and Lavone. I don't hate all white guys in sports. Just those point guards, those guards.
Yeah, but Christian Leitner's not a guard.
I know. Even Christian Laettner hated Grayson Allen, somebody says. Remember Marshall Henderson? Played at, Ole Miss, I believe?
Yes.
He went on a run for a while. He was, you know which white? You know which guy I didn't hate? Who was a guard? White Chocolate. Jason Williams. He was so much fun to watch. He was entertaining, man. He was cool as hell.
I mean, the nickname says it, Stoney.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need to elaborate, do we?
I know. He went to Randy Moss.
Be careful right now.
Randy Moss's high school teammate.
Mo
Wagner.
I've seen him on some lists.
Mm-hmm. Drew Timmy. Oh, it's because he went to school for 12 years.
Yeah.
Larry Johnson. Grandmama, was he really hateable? Now, I'm trying to remember the college days. I mean, a lot of people didn't like UNLV because of Tarkanian, and they thought, you know.
The Running Rebs.
Running Rebs were doing some illegal things. They, you know, the picture of a lot of them in the hot tub with the gambler. Let's see. Here's another list I've seen. Oh, we forgot our very old good buddy Wojo from Duke.
Yeah. Steve.
Steve. Hey, there's this list here, okay? And it's from, I think, Dime Magazine or whatever. And of the top 10, listen, how many of them are from Duke? Number one, Christian Laettner. Number two, Jalen Rose. Three, J.J. Redick. Four, Wojo from Duke. Five, Bobby Hurley. Six, Tyler Hansbrough. Then we get into the others. Reggie Miller, seven. Patrick Ewing, eight. Another Dukie, Greg Paulus, who later became, I believe, a coach.
Did you say Grayson Allen?
I didn't even say Grayson Allen. Maybe this
he's got to be in everybody's
maybe,
top 10.
I didn't see when this list came out. Who knows? Maybe it was before he was even playing in Duke. Mm-hmm. Gary Payton, Shane Battier. Oh, here's a really good one. Adam Morrison.
The Bulldogs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Ferry, Eric Montross. The late
Danny Ferry. When was the last time you heard that name?
Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
Oh, he was hateable. I'll give you a few more here. Noah, who we mentioned. Marcus Camby. I don't know why he would be hateable. All right, here we go. Some others. Danny Wolf's face is punchable. I'm a State fan, but I got to think that Drew Neitzel would be on that list. Being a lefty probably made him even more hateable. That's from Derek and Bright. Good player.
You mentioned Danny Wolf. We coming up next. We're going to do people with the most messed up noses in sports.
I'm going to edit
you
myself.
You want to do it, don't you?
Yeah, you know.
Dangle it.
Go ahead.
Stoney, watch the carrot.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I'm not doing it.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You can just whisper it. So close. So close. I usually get it out of you.
Yeah, I know. Hey, he's a member of the tribe. We'll leave it at that, okay?
Who's that?
Danny Wolf. Thus the nose comment. Grayson Allen was complex.
There it is.
His extreme competitiveness. All right, you want me to go all in?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you think his favorite play? You think his favorite basketball player is Penny Hardaway? Okay, I went all in. Grayson Allen was complex. His extreme competitiveness led him to some cheap shots, but the outrage on him was more about a deeper held Duke hate than Grayson himself. Okay. Zach Edey.
Yeah.
We got an interesting one on Ticket Text, and I never thought of this, and I don't believe it, but Cassius Winston, somebody texted in.
How can you hate Cassius Winston?
So wasn't he on the COVID team?
Yeah.
That was the team, like, not the
That was supposed to be the one.
Yes.
That was Tom's second.
Yeah.
That would have been Tom's second. And that was the scene. I mean, his brother died early in this. I mean, gosh, just Winston. I don't know. There are other Spartans that are more hateable. People have mentioned, you know, Neitzel and Skiles in the past. Not Cassius Winston. Keith Van Horn with those stupid high knee socks. Hateable. Jess Settles from Iowa. I can see that. Rob from West Bloomfield says Spike Albrecht. And Teddy Dupay from Florida. Oh, my God. You talking about it. Remember the cheap shot on Cleves?
The
NCAA championship game. All right. Enough of that hilarity and hijinks. It's time for Chris Fallar.
It snorted.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.